Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bieniemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Live at Drift Bar in the Heights, DJ Bieniemy. It's the first time I heard that rejoin. That's really good work by MC. DJ Bieniemy joining us live here at Drift Bar. DJ, the story here, of course, DJ covers Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter, DJ Bieniemy. Nico Collins, yep. Can the Texans survive with Nico? Is it the same hamstring? Is it only four games? Those are all the big questions when it comes to Nico Collins, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the same hamstring because, again, like, it popped up earlier. And obviously he played through it that week, and then it popped back up on a deep pass. So I'm not. It's probably the same one. Obviously super unfortunate for that situation. Obviously, you know, he was leading the league in receiving yards. And I was really excited to see how far he could take it, because I thought with his quarterback being CJ, he could have possibly got close to 2K. Mainly because on script, off script, they were able to do a lot of damage. I think the difference between Tyreek trying to get 2K and Nico trying to get 2K was Tyreek, everything was so much on time and based on rhythm, where CJ and Nico, they could, if it wasn't on time, on script, they could create off script. So I was really interested to see how far he could actually take it. But, you know, obviously he won't get anywhere near that, unfortunately. But I think they could survive without Nico, especially, you know, these upcoming games. I think the real test will be against the Jets. Because even though, like, you know, they fired their coach, et cetera, et cetera, I don't think their offense would be much better, but their defense is still going to be stout, because it's the same guy calling plays. Like, Jeff Ulbrich called plays even with Saleh. And they're built to dominate teams that don't have firepower offense. I'm not saying the Texans don't have firepower, but the Texans, with their three guys, they'll be able to nullify their cornerback room. But the Jets legit have three corners that are towards the top at their positions, right? So I think that's when they can run into some trouble, but until then, they should be fine.
So what's the Joe Mixon situation look like? Because we were talking about the fact that even if he's available and even he wants to get back, and we heard the comments in the locker room where he was prior to the cheap tackle, I don't need to see too much of him right away. I just need to see that he's okay. And I'm curious your thoughts on how much they're going to use him and what he's going to do.
I think with them, they probably – because D'Amico was, I don't want to say meathead, that's not the right word, but D'Amico is so old school. Like, if you out there, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's an all-systems go type of guy. He doesn't strike me as a pitch count type of guy, right? He strikes me more of a, hey, if you're ready to go, let's go. Like, kind of like Aziz. Aziz was under the weather. And, like, they had a conversation. They talked about, you know, like, are you good to go? And he Aziz wasn't playing up to the standard. And he asked, hey, do you need to come out the game? And he's like, no, I'm good. And he played the majority of the game. And I think, you know, D'Amico's that type of guy. I remember last year, right, when Steven Nelson didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. He did like a mini-ish walkthrough on Friday. And they kind of were trying to keep him on pitch count. And before you know, he was playing the whole game against the Bengals. So, and that was a neck injury. You know, if you have a neck injury, hey, you might need to be on a pitch count. But he hadn't played the majority of that game, so – he doesn't really strike me as the type of guy to have guys on pitch count. So I think if he's out there, he's going to get at least 80% of the touches.
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier. Like, you know that I like to protect my players for sure. I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you are.
When it comes to D'Amico. Like, if Mixon, you know, coming off a high ankle sprain and they're up by two possessions, if he's running the ball with 5 minutes left to play, I don't love that. But I do agree with the – you know, the philosophy that D'Amico Ryans has.
Yep.
It seems like everybody's on the injury report. Kamari Lassiter out, has been ruled out today. Is it going to be Ross? Is Ross going to play the whole game? How do you think they handle that spot?
Because they don't have Jeff either. Man, that's a good question. I mean, they're not in a great spot, honestly, because Jeff is supposed to be that third cornerback. If he could step in, you'd be fine. But I think it probably could be D'Angelo Ross. I mean, I could see a scenario where Troy Pride gets called up. It's not ideal because that's one of their more thin positions.
I guess it's good they're playing the Patriots.
Yes, completely agree. They're playing the Patriots with rookie quarterback, rookie weapons. Their best running back is out. Actually, their best offensive player is out. So they're actually catching the injuries at a good time. Where the Patriots, you know, they're decimated. But I will say this. Even though the Patriots are decimated and they're 1-4, the Texans aren't taking them lightly at all. They feel like, from guys I've talked to, they feel like that's actually it's not player speak and like just trying to be, you know, politically correct. They do feel like this is a good football team. That if you don't take them serious, you play around, right? You let them score a touchdown early, maybe get 10 points early, you're going to be in a dogfight. So I expect them to try to put their foot on their necks early, even with the injuries that they have.
Yeah, because I was curious about that. We were talking about that last segment in terms of I feel like they're going – this is the game where they kind of break out early, they get up, and they continue where I think they're up 2 scores by halftime, and then they roll. But then we saw the injury report, and I'm curious from that standpoint of what you were just talking about. Robert Woods did good in the return game aside from fielding balls inside the five.
Nah.
But we knew that he really legitimately was connected to a couple of scores that were key for this team. And then with Nico going out in the news, then when that broke, the fact that, well, we got a veteran to choose from as well as Hutch. We got guys that can come in, fill in. Now he's out. Give me the twofold kind of trickle-down effect of how that affects both the return game, because I don't want to see Tank back there. Neither one of us do. And you know how we feel about that versus you, but I don't want to see Tank in the return game, and I'm curious how it affects the passing game.
I think it'll be Steven Sims to return the punts. I know he dropped one. I think it'll be Steven Sims. But, I mean, Bears can't be chosen. If you don't want Tank back there, it's going to be Steven. I don't think he'll drop another punt. I think he'll be fine back there. And then, receiver's going to be Tank. It's going to be Stephon, Metch, Hutch. Let's see, and let's roll. That's going to be your main four, right? It's going to be those main four with Robert out. You're going to see a lot of Mitch. You're going to see a lot of Hutch. I think you'll see some Hutch in Nico's spot when they go 11 specifically. So I hope that Bobby, you know, kind of use Steph inside and outside. Don't pigeonhole him just to the slot, especially in a game like this. And I think we could see a pretty decent performance. Well, I guess a welcome back party from Tank. I could see that happening this game. But I think if they can run the rock, they should be fine regardless. They won't necessarily have to overly rely on the pass game.
What do you think of the offense as a whole? DJ Bienname joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, DJ Bienname. You know, you look at the yards per game, you know, high. It's 6 now. They went above Seattle after the game yesterday. They're second in the NFL in passing. Seattle actually jumped them in passing. But they're middle of the pack in points. What do you think that the void there is? What's holding them back?
I think it's a multitude of things. I think second half teams – adjust to what Bobby's trying to do. I think sometimes Bobby gets a little bit too cute. I think the play where CJ fumbled, right? Obviously, still CJ got to hold the ball, right? But why are you running a fake screen, right? The screen game wasn't working the entire game. Even the one play where Nico was able to get a first down off a screen play, off the tunnel screen, he had to break a tackle.
Yeah,
it was very clear that the Bills had a good beat on it. And there was another play where he tried to get it. It looked like CJ ended up throwing the ball to Cam, but they were trying to go the opposite way, and it didn't work. And I think there's another play where it's a legal man downfield. Like,
yeah.
I think sometimes he gets a little bit too cute.
The 3rd and 5 with 44 seconds could be
right, right.
Was just, cute.
Yeah, exactly. Just run the ball. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes he tries to get overly creative. When in reality, sometimes you just put your foot on their throat. Right? When if you're in a fight, right, and you really beating the hell out of dude. You're not going to try to get cute at that point. You're going to keep smashing them in the face, right? You know, like.
I like this.
Finish him.
Yeah. You're not going to hop on the table now and then try to, like, jump off him. No, you're going to keep punching him in the face. And I think sometimes Bobby needs to continue to punch the defense in the face instead of trying to get all too cute and things of that nature. I think right now, like, honestly speaking, the team just, at least from an O-line standpoint, the team isn't disciplined enough to, like, not mess up. In that aspect, when it comes to like those penalties, was illegal formations or illegal man downfield, things of that nature. But I think, you know, there could be a wrinkle this week when they go 21 personnel. I won't give it away because I overheard it and I don't want to say it. You know what I'm saying? But it could be somebody interesting at fullback this week when they go 21 personnel. I'm actually very curious to see what
Dell?
That looks like.
They do like him blocking the box.
If they do that, we know you'll be very upset.
Fair.
Yes. Yes. So which backup offensive lineman are they using?
20, that's ooh, I think you might have nailed it.
From a defensive perspective, DJ, they should get more credit than maybe they're getting, but they've been pretty good on defense. We know what they did to Josh Allen. But yet, the edge rushers are taking a little bit of a beating. Where have they been? The casuals are saying, we need more sacks. Is this a game where they break out against a young rookie quarterback and a subpar offensive line?
I think, yeah, if D'Amico heats them up and blitzing them, yeah, I think so. I think if he sits back, I think that could be a problem, mainly because they're going to – they know, especially on early downs, what the Texans will be in. Are they going to be in cover three or they're going to be in cover four? D'Amico is very vanilla on early downs, so I think – Their OC is going to try to give Drake May some layups.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you can blitz him early and get him a little bit uncomfortable against that O-line, then the sacks will come, in my opinion. So I think that they should get at least three this week. But I do think that the reason why the sacks aren't coming is because the interior pressure isn't good enough, which is why it's silly that, you know, I think it's a fair criticism that they didn't keep Malik and keep – granted, they were trying to get Armstead, so it is what it is there. But then at least keep Sheldon. Because Sheldon and Malik were so good at collapsing the pocket from the interior where guys didn't have lanes to step up into. Because, yeah, like, Daniil and Will can get upfield, but if there's no pressure on the interior, quarterback can just step up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there are plenty of times where Josh Allen literally stepped up and then rolled outside. Yeah. Right? So I think, honestly, you know, I think a lot of it just starts with the interior defensive line. And I think that could become a problem down the stretch of the season. So
I think part of it too is the mobile quarterbacks have been playing. Like you got to be able to keep the edge. You got to be able to keep the contain. And I wonder how much of it too is D'Amico Autry. Like I wonder if they expected D'Amico Autry to be able to create that interior pressure. But at the same time, I don't know how much defensive tackle they want him to play versus defensive end.
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I know earlier in camp he was playing D tackle at times. I know he'll probably be on inside on third down, but I think he's dealing with a little bit of an injury, so I'm not too sure if he'll even be ready by the time he's
back.
But
not good news.
It's 50-50. I mean, I think he'll be back, but I wouldn't be surprised after next week if he's not. You know what I'm saying? Because it don't sound like it's too clear, like, if he will be ready to go.
I guess it's kind of good in the sense that he was hurt while he was suspended.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't miss
Exactly.
Like, he was suspended six games, but he might have been injured six
because
games.
Because you can still practice if you're suspended during preseason, and he didn't practice or play.
Huh.
So, you know, we'll see where he's at once he gets back.
So you got the information, and we've got the questions. Christian Harris, I mean, when do we start broaching the subject again of him being brought back onto the team?
I don't think he'll be back next week. I think they're being very cautious because it's a calf, and we all know calves can turn into Achilles. And his game
calves turn into cows.
Calves turn into what?
Calves turn into cows.
Calves turn into cows.
Yeah, that's what baby cows.
What'd you think of that joke, DJ?
You loved it, didn't you?
Grade on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's for sure a dad joke. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 1.5.
Thanks. Okay. That's what I needed from you.
That's about where I'm at.
So I think that, you know, they're just trying to be safe and cautious. Because, again, like, Christian Harris is a young player, right? And I don't, you know, you don't want to rush him and bring him. Because, again, like, I know it's crazy to say, we're already almost halfway through October.
Yeah, it's
right?
crazy.
By next week, by the next game, we'll be past. I think we'll be October 20th, because that's the game. Oh, my God, we'll be almost in November. So at that point, you know, you don't want him to pop his Achilles and then, like, try to, like, rush back. And then, like, because you saw Jalen Phillips, right? He rushed back with the Achilles and he messed up his knee. You know what I'm saying? So I think they got to just play it safe and be careful with Christian Harris.
I think To'o To'o, too, might be buying him some time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, maybe you can buy him an extra week or two because of the level of play you're getting there.
Right. Yeah, I think so, too. So, honestly, just take your time with Christian Harris, and then we'll see where he's at when he's ready to go.
DJ, we appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by. Safe travels. I'm sure you have a fun trip planned ahead of you tomorrow.
Yeah, I do, kind of. I mean, but it's still Boston, though. Boston is boring.
Do you, whenever you go to these cities, do you get local fare? Do you eat the local stuff, or do you kind of go, you know, boring, bland, basic?
So it depends. I mean, I'm on a diet now, so it just depends.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota, ate some wings, but I wasn't eating none of the juicy whatever the stuff they were talking about.
The Juicy Lucy?
Yeah, cause I heard.
I've never had one.
They put cheese in a burger.
It's stuffed.
That's how you end up. You know, that's how you end up in a hospital bed.
That's my
with
fear.
Tubes in your mouth.
I'm with you. Like, how do you know that meat's totally cooked?
Yeah, exactly. How do you know where they're getting that cheese from? How they putting that cheese inside that burger? So I'm good.
I like a little chowder though. I like some chowder. Do you like clam chowder?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a cheddar broccoli the other day.
Okay.
From Potbelly. It wasn't good. I threw it away.
Okay. Yeah. So we know where you're at with the chowder. I won't ask you again. DJ, appreciate the time. Stay traveling.
No problem.
DJ Bianami covers the Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com, and has no respect for that headphone.
And Brian has no respect because he's talking.
Top 10 offseason acquisitions in the NFL. Any Texans belong on this list? If so, who? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Look, a lot of guys think that I sit here with a baseball hat on with no hair underneath, and Donna's here to attest to the fact that, and Alex is here to attest to the fact that when we have parties and other ventures and outings, I'm always free and clear to show you my full head of hair that I got thanks to Doc Linville. Doc Linville is awesome. He's the best in the business, and what he did for me, he can do for you too. It's as simple as going to 975hair.com. Once you go there and you find out what the PRP treatments are all about, when you find out what the NeoGraft procedure can do and how easy it is for you to do, and then to see the results of your own hair coming back, you'll want to do it too. It's phenomenal. Because you listen to us and you want to go see him, you go to 975hair.com, you set up an appointment right now, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. You get it for free. No signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, no commitment to be made, just a Q&A session and them explaining how they can help you get your hair back. The bullet points that I took away from it, which were key, that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that and repurposes it in the NeoGraft, puts it where you need it most. The PRP is like fertilizing your lawn. You still have hair. It's just not as thick and strong as it used to be. The PRP can get you back there as well. He's phenomenal. He's here in the Med Center, and he wants to help Houstonians. That's why he advertises with us, and he wants to see you. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Killer Bees at Drift Bar in the Heights. Great spot to hang out. Hang out after work. It's work a little bit early. Enjoy their happy hour specials until 8. Enjoy their football viewing tomorrow and their football viewing on Sunday as well. 713-780-ESPN. Jasper liked your joke about the calves turning into cows.
Thank you.
Personally, I loved the joke, Joel, but then again, I'm a dad, so that's not saying much. To be fair, DJ is not a dad. DJ is he is not a dad.
Why does DJ need a diet, too?
Yeah, DJ was telling us he's on a diet and he eats 2%. Or he's got. I don't think he even has 2% body fat. The dude is a specialist.
DJ, if anybody that is on our air does not need a
no.
diet.
DJ saying he was on a diet made me feel really bad about
myself. Yeah, no, that's depressing if he's on a diet.
Honey Glaze Branham, the only way we know. Okay, not coming. Oh, come on, Honey Glaze Branham. Keith from L.A., whatever you are paying DJ, double it. He deserves it, true insider. I got that text key while DJ was on with us, but I wasn't going to read it while DJ was on with us because I don't want him to hold that against us in negotiations and hold us over the barrel. So made sure to read that later. Top 10 offseason acquisitions. NFL.com had this list today. Around the NFL, top 10 offseason acquisitions. How many Houston Texans do you think should be on this list? Because the Texans have had several. I think Mixon could be close to this if he would have stayed healthy. Uh-huh. But obviously the injury that takes him out. You got Diggs in the offseason. You got Danielle Hunter in the offseason. You got Azeez Al-Shaair in the offseason. Who would you have on this list, top 10 around the entire league?
Yeah, top 10 around the entire league. And I saw something on this, and someone made a really good point. I can't remember which player it was because it was kind of an off-the-radar player. I think from a Texans perspective, you nailed, there's three guys that could be on this list for me. And it starts with the guy that I always believe is the underrated best signing of the offseason, and that's Azeez Al-Shaair. I just believe that the defense has been taken to another level and has been a lot more effective, athletic, and in control because of the fact that he's in the middle calling the plays. And I believe that whether the national people see it or not, we see it on a play-by-play, week-by-week basis. I just think he has been outstanding.
Yeah, he's been I was listening to him yesterday. I think it was Aaron Wilson that posted the video. He's talking about, you know, what he went through
when he was sick,
with
yeah.
the being in the hospital. He said he went to the ER on Saturday morning. He said he started to feel bad Friday. Saturday morning he was in the ER getting fluids, all that. They said they took all the tests, everything. They really didn't diagnose him with anything. But I'm with you. And I didn't think we would be here. Like, I thought he was a really good addition. He's going to be kind of, to borrow a college basketball term, like a coach on the floor. Like, your point guard is always that in college basketball. Azeez Alshire plays the position that D'Amico Ryans did. They were together in San Francisco. I think D'Amico, in a lot of ways, handpicked Azeez Alshire to be that linebacker that's going to wear the green dot and be that guy for him. But I wouldn't have had him ahead of Danielle Hunter at the start of the season. And Azeez Alshire is the only Texan on the top 10 of the top 10 offseason acquisitions in the NFL. Little surprised that Stephon Diggs didn't make the list, because Malik Willis is number 10. Like, I love that Malik Willis won some games in Green Bay. I don't think Malik Willis is more important to the Packers than Stephon Diggs is to the Houston Texans. So it surprises me that Malik Willis is on here and Stephon Diggs is not. But Malik Willis was 10. Azeez Alshire was 9. Tyler Bayadassa, I don't know how to say his name. The center for the Commanders is 8. Justin Fields at number 7. John Grenard, former Houston Texan, number 6. Kirk Cousins at 5. Xavier McKinney, your guy, safety in Green Bay at number 4. Saquon Barkley, 3? Three? Sam Darnold was at 2. Derrick Henry was at 1. That's a pretty good top 3.
It's a pretty good top 3.
Pretty good top 3. I would say that Stephon Diggs belongs on this list. I would kick off Malik Willis. And I would say that I'm not offended that Azeez Alshire is here by any stretch of the imagination. I am just surprised because of what I thought before the season that Azeez Alshire is and Danielle Hunter is not.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, I still think the best is yet to come for Danielle Hunter, and I'm looking forward to that. I actually thought at the start of the year Autry might be the unsung guy that was going to be the guy that made the biggest impact, and then we went through what we now know was the suspension, and now even with what else we're hearing. So the fact is that, thank goodness, you're right, D'Amico handpicked his guy. And as much as we thought the interior defensive line was the main reason we were and what they wanted to improve was what we were looking at, part of the reason why they can stop the run or they do the things they want to do is because Alshire can play the run. He can still wreak havoc in the backfield, and he can cover in the pass game. And because he quarterbacks the entire offense, the importance level goes way up. So, yeah, I love what he brings to this team and that chemistry with D'Amico, and he makes everybody around him better.
Yeah. John Grenard's number 6. Grenard's number 6. And it's interesting because, I was talking to – I was going back and forth with some people on Twitter, which is very unlike me. I usually don't do that. John Grenard, the sixth best offseason acquisition. Danielle Hunter, not on the list. It's interesting, too, because both players played in both schemes. John Grenard played in D'Amico's scheme last year. Danielle Hunter played in Brian Flores' scheme last year in Minnesota. Would you take John – revisionist history, hindsight 2020, we're having this conversation in week 6 of the NFL season. John Grenard or Danielle Hunter?
To me, I'm still going with Danielle Hunter. And I'm going with Danielle Hunter because he gives me more that I know what I know about a guy that's been reliable, that has been a guy for his career that looks like he's one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league. We talked about the injury history of Grenard. We know that he had a really, really breakout good season last year. He's had 2 good seasons. He's also had injury muddled seasons or seasons where it wasn't as great. I'd rather go with the more proven commodity, and I still believe the best is yet to come with Danielle Hunter, than I would go with John Grenard. I think John Grenard is a product of one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the game right now. Not to say that he's bad, but I believe that's also a big factor. Now, you could come back with me.
Yeah, I mean, he had 12.5 sacks last year.
You could come back to me and say that Hunter.
Two different defensive coordinators, though.
Yeah, he had 12.5 sacks last year, not in this system.
Right.
He had 12.5 in Minnesota system. He had 12.5 sacks last year with the Texans.
And less than a full season.
I understand that. But I think that, look, and you can come back to me and say Hunter played for when he had a great year. He played for Flores as well.
Yeah.
My big thing is I just believe that from everything that was involved in the process, I trust a more proven commodity in Danielle Hunter.
How old do you think Danielle Hunter is?
29?
I was going to say, 29.
I think
I was
he's 29.
30? 30?
I was looking at his stuff the other day, and I was actually shocked by his age. I thought he was much older than he is. He's in his age 30 year. I thought he was like 33, 34, if I'm being honest. I think that John Grenard is the better player today than Danielle Hunter is.
I mean, it's fair by stats, right?
Yeah, and I don't, and like usually I'm not a big stat guy when it comes to football, but I think that the stats can be looked at here because they've literally played in the same exact system. You just kind of inverse the year.
Them, yeah,
Grenard played in the Texan system in 23, plays in the Viking system this year. Danielle Hunter in the Viking system last year. Now Danielle Hunter had tons of sacks last year, so like let's be very fair to Danielle Hunter. He had tons of sacks last year. I think Grenard is slightly better than Danielle Hunter at this moment if we eliminate everything else. You're just like, okay, you go play 50 snaps defensively. You play 50 snaps defensively in the same exact scheme. I think Grenard's going to give you a little bit more production than Danielle Hunter. Not by a great amount. I think it's barely. I think he's slightly ahead. Why I would still go Danielle Hunter over John Grenard, though, is the contract. You know, Danielle Hunter's on the two-year deal. Yes, handsomely paid, but it's a two-year deal, $49 million. Nick Caseri doesn't believe in windows, but he believes in those two-year increments. So give me Danielle Hunter on the two-year deal, even though he doesn't have the production yet of John Grenard. And I would agree with you, Blankers. I do think it's going to come. I think by the end of the year, Danielle Hunter's numbers are still going to be very, very good. I think a lot of the reasons he doesn't have the sack totals that we're accustomed to is because of the quarterbacks the Houston Texans have played. I think they've had to be a little bit more gap sound. I think they've had to set the edge and the contain a little bit more than they would normally have to if they're going up against pocket passers week in, week out. But I would say, I think it's fair to say Grenard's slightly better, but I'll take the contract that Danielle Hunter, 2 years, $49 million over John Grenard's 4 years, $76
million. Yeah, I think that's part of it too, and I think you're right. That's one where I wasn't factoring in all the finances, but I know that I had questions about Grenard getting as much money as he was going to get in this contract as he tries to prove that he's going to continue to do what he's done, as opposed to getting a guy that's proven that is also coming home, that wanted to be here, that gave you a shorter deal at still fair numbers. So that also factors in as a big play.
Where do you stand on the Diggs versus Malik Willis?
I think what Malik Willis did for Green Bay was huge. I think that Diggs didn't have to do as much as maybe he would have had to do in another scenario, but now we're about to see how valuable he can really be because he's been good, but I think everybody expected he was going to be a big wide receiver one, like some of the best wide receiver ones in the league. And there were a lot of mouths to feed, as we know, and Nico got off to an unbelievable start. I think right now, value-wise, they both had great value for their team. I think the Packers are in a world of hurt if they don't have Malik Willis because they cut their backup quarterbacks, and neither guy was ready to play anyway when Jordan Love went down. So I think Malik Willis on the short term has a ton of value that where I think he's a bit above Diggs, mm-hmm. but I think Diggs is really about to prove his worth.
They won both his starts, right? They're 2-0 in the two games that he started.
Yes, they did. Three. Wasn't it three?
He played in a third, but he
oh, that's right. He handed over to Love, and they lost to Minnesota.
I know they beat Tennessee.
They beat Tennessee, and the week before they beat
Indy. And then he played in the previous game once Love got hurt. So he like that wasn't. That, I mean, he threw one pass.
Well, I thought Love. Yeah, Love got hurt in like the second to last play, though, right?
Malik Willis threw one pass in the loss to Philly. So obviously, we're not putting that on Malik
right.
Willis.
No,
and
no,
Willis
no.
played.
No, no.
He had back to back starts. Beat Indy 16-10. Beat Tennessee 30-14.
I think I put
pretty Diggs, big. Pretty big.
It's pretty big, but I think I'd put Diggs ahead because, and this is a credit to the Packers coaching staff, especially LaFleur. But and part of this is obviously the opponents. The Colts and the Titans have not been very good football teams this year. But it kind of feels, and maybe this is me going off my past impression of Malik Willis, but it kind of feels like Malik Willis winning those games, especially considering the opponents, kind of felt like a situation where he could have taken a lot of quarterbacks and done the same thing. So I don't want to take credit away from Malik Willis because he did the job. He played well in that moment. But I think I'd put Diggs ahead because it feels like LaFleur has shown that he could take a lot of quarterbacks and do the same thing with them.
And maybe this is me moving the goalposts, too. I think a factor of this is what is left in front of you. Like, the Green Bay doesn't want Malik Willis to play ever again.
No.
Whereas Stephon Diggs is pretty critical to the Houston Texans.
Exactly.
So, and maybe that's me moving the goalposts because this is through the first 5 weeks of the season. But I would have Diggs ahead of Willis.
I think the big thing is I think the Texans are a playoff team with or without Diggs. I think the Packers, when Love goes down without –
Is that a point against Diggs, though?
No, but I think it's a stronger point for Malik Willis because we remember the year that Breeze went down and Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0. Mm-hmm. Without Teddy Bridgewater, the Saints are nowhere, and they probably don't make the playoffs. I think the same could be said of Green Bay. Those games might be – we're talking about them going from potentially fighting for the division to fighting for a wild card. If that's the difference between getting in or getting out, those two games that he did win – I think that has a ton more value.
My pushback would be that it was two wins against bad teams, Indy and Tennessee. Now it is the AFC
Tennessee
South,
for sure.
The AFC
Indy
South.
Scared me.
Indy hasn't been good this year, though. Like, Indy's just been disappointing to me.
And Green Bay killed him in that game.
And maybe that's because I had
Josh
a higher
Jacobs
bar.
But that was the game plan. They just ran it.
Josh,
I mean, they had unbelievable rushing yards. And Willis had a ton of them.
And maybe it was because of where I thought Indy should have been and where I thought Tennessee was at the start of the year. And maybe it's I'm holding him versus expectation. But if you gave Malik Willis 8 starts, you know, I have a better scenario.
Okay.
Let's say you have Malik Willis play the 6 games in division. So he plays both. Every single team in the division twice. Minnesota,
yep.
Chicago, Detroit.
Yep.
What does Malik Willis do as a starter in those 6 games?
He wins...
2?
2.
2-4.
Yeah.
I think 2-4 is probably...
He's going to beat the Bears once, he's going to...
They'll find a way into another one.
Yeah, LaFleur is a really good offensive scheme play caller, utilizing what he's got, and he did that with Malik Willis.
Yeah.
I think he could squeak one more out. Nothing more than that.
I think you take 2-4, and you're happy about it.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think you're thrilled.
Back home, no one thought they were getting either one of those wins. You're taking a guy off another team's scrap heap for a 7th-round pick. You're trying to get him up to speed in the system. He has no idea what it is and what to run and what the playbook looks like. They bring him in right at the end of camp after all the preseason games, and then they expect him to, like, pick it up quickly and do the Baker Mayfield and then win 2 big games for them, and he won them both.
713-780-ESPN. Let's start winning you more money. The Killer Bees have been winning you money each and every week. Most weeks. We've been doing it most weeks. We're going to hand out some winners when we come back. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Tomorrow, where they have everyday specials until 8 o'clock. Take advantage of that. Still plenty of time to do that today. Great spot for your Friday after work plans. Get your weekend started here at Drift Bar. Get your football started tomorrow here at Drift Bar, and then, of course, Sunday as well. So we're handing out some winners. BZ Money. BZ Money's been killing it this year. We're 10-8, 2 games above 500. We don't pay the VIG, so we're in the black. We've won $55 for you. Brian leads the way at 6-2. I've been mid at 4-4, and in dead last,
at
the bottom of the cellar, has been Blankers
at
3-4-1. Because you're in last, Blankers, we'll let you go first. What's the first game you're selling to us?
Wait, you guys want to make me look like an idiot every day that ends in Y? Okay, yes, I own that. I haven't been great. First game is the one we've been talking about all day. The first game is your Houston Texans going to New England. This is one where I feel very confident, and the last number we got was 6.5. I said the Texans were going to be up by a touchdown in the first quarter. I think they're going to win by 2 scores. I think they're going to roll in this game. I love the fact that they're going up against a rookie quarterback. I love the fact that their offensive line isn't great. I love the fact that they have more of their running game back in line with the guys that they're going to use. I think they're going to roll in this game. I think this was an easy one for me to feel confident in. I love the Texans to win by at least a touchdown.
I stayed away from this game as an emotional hedge. I don't hate it. I have the Texans winning this game by double figures, so I'm cool with it. I personally didn't play with it. Didn't play it because of the emotional hedge aspect of it, but I'm cool with it. I like the Texans plus by at least 10.
I do too. It means we're going against Lee Sterling, so I don't want to go big because I trust Lee. Lee had Patriots plus the points, but I disagree with him on this game, and I do think the Texans win by double digits as well.
All right, what do you guys want to do? It's fine.
$30?
$30 sounds good.
That's good.
I don't want to be mad twice, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't want to be mad that the Texans lose, and then on top of that I'm mad because I lost a bet.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't play it from a Texans perspective. But I do think they win this game by 10, so I'm good with that.
Okay.
I'm good with that. All right, first game that I'm going to sell to you all. Saints are without Derek Carr. I like Rattler's talent, but I don't like Rattler making his first ever start in his life. Tampa Bay, I think, goes into New Orleans. Not an easy place to win, especially in division. But I think Tampa Bay goes into New Orleans, dominates a rookie quarterback, and wins comfortably against the Saints this weekend.
Yeah, I like this game, too. I like it for the reasons you stated. I like it for the fact that Tampa's better than I thought they were. I like it for the fact that Baker hasn't melted down or shown that he isn't a good quarterback this year in this league. And he's got weapons. He's got a running game that I think a lot of people kind of sleep on a little bit. But he's still got Mike Evans. He's still got Godwin. He's got guys to go to as well. And they've been playing good football. I like the Buccaneers in this game as well.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me is there's an historic domination of Marshawn Lattimore on Mike Evans. Mike Evans, whenever he faces the Saints,
they hate each other.
And Lattimore shuts him down. So this is going to be a game where Chris Godwin in the running game steps up. But yeah, Spencer Rattler in his first start as a rookie, a fifth round rookie at that. I think Tampa Bay wins this one by more than the 3.5. So I would bet the Tampa Bay side as well.
$100.
Ooh. No, I don't like it that
softies.
Much.
50? We want to go big?
I was going to say 40. So
I mean, I have been amazingly average this year. I'm 500 on the year. So keep that in mind.
I
Joel,
suggest,
you said 40?
I said 40.
I'm good with 40.
$40.
On Tampa? All right. So my first game.
After that moonwalk backwards a little bit, you're going to still stick with the softie.
All right, so my first game I'm going to give to you guys is shout out to Joe George, the Chicago Bears going to London. I think that it's not a home game. Obviously, they're going overseas, so that is a little bit concerning. But Chicago,
it's a Jacksonville home game.
It's a Jacksonville home game, both from just the actual being a home game and because they play there all the time. But yeah, I just don't trust the Jaguars defense, whereas the Bears defense has been elite, and we finally saw Caleb Williams put it all together last week. Had a great passing game. It's been more than the last game. They put up a stat earlier when we were watching ESPN here. Last 10 quarters, Caleb Williams has been great. So it's more than just the one game. I think Chicago's defense dominates. I think Caleb Williams cuts up a bad Jacksonville defense. And Chicago's only favored by a point here. So all they have to do is win the game. I'm going to take Chicago minus one.
I don't like this game because Jacksonville's been there and done it before. They go overseas all the time. They know the routine. They don't need to do the sightseeing. They settle in like it's a home game, and they normally play pretty well. They've got a winning record in their games in London. I know.
They really?
Yeah, they do. It's only by a couple games, but okay. A game or two. But I just feel like that's strong, and the fact that they got a win last week, they know that they're desperate for every win they can get to try and just stay relevant. And the Bears still, to me, their defense has been their calling card. Caleb Williams, yes, he's been better lately. I just don't believe in him enough, so I stayed away from this game completely. But if I was going to go either side of it, I'd go Jacksonville.
I'm torn on this one because Brian's 6-2. He's been pacing the Killer Bees and BC Money on the other side. I think the wrong team is favored.
Oh,
I think
boy.
Jacksonville is going to defend their foreign turf, their home foreign turf. I think Jacksonville wins this game outright. Now, ugly game. It's going to be a terrible game.
You're not going to be fun to watch. Don't get up early for it.
I don't think that you're going to. I mean, it's 8:30, Brian. What time do you wake up? I don't think
depends
it's going to be.
Depends how blackjack goes tomorrow night.
I don't think it's going to be a fun game to watch. But I think Jacksonville ekes out a 20-17 win. I don't like this game.
All right.
I don't love that we're going to get up against Brian, who's 6-2 on the year. But, yeah, I don't like this game. I don't like this game.
So do you want to bet it or are you
staying
away?
No, I would have.
You guys said both stay away.
Personally, I play Jacksonville money line.
Yeah, if I was going to go one way or another, I felt Jacksonville was going to win the game.
All right, Blakers, what's your second game?
My second game is a team that has really looked good offensively. They're not good defensively, but I don't believe in the Giants' offense without Malik Nabers. I believe that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to go to New York, and the 3.5 is not going to be enough. I think Cincinnati's offense put up a ton of points on the Baltimore defense. I don't think their defense, which is not great, has as much to worry about with Daniel Jones. I like Cincinnati winning this game by about 6 to 7 points. I like the Bengals over the Giants.
I have the Bengals winning this game by 3. I faded this game. I think that it's going to be a closer game than, I think it's going to be as close as Vegas thinks it's going to be. Giants offense is not bad. Now, Malik Nabers has been ruled out with a concussion, although Darius Slayton went nuts
he was great last
in his
week.
Stead last week. I think that Giants offense is actually better than people give them credit for. On top of that, the Bengals defense is a disaster.
Yeah.
Bengals defense is really bad. I do think the Bengals win this game, but I think it's by only a field goal, and I stayed away from it.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy also stepped up for the Giants last week, a running back. It looked really great, so he had some extra juice that I don't think they knew they had before the season. I agree. I think Cincinnati wins, and I don't think we're going to say it's a nail biter. But the half scares me. The half scares me, and I would stay away.
All right, so we're not playing that one. Second game that I want to sell you guys, Buffalo Bills. They're not going to lose 3 in a row. Yes, they have some problem with the Jets in the past, but the Jets are a debacle. The Jets are a train wreck. The Jets are terrible. They are terrible. The Buffalo Bills are going to do to the Jets what the 49ers did to the Seahawks yesterday, and they're going to little bro the Jets. They're going to let everybody know that the division belongs to Buffalo. Buffalo wins this game, they roll in this game. I think they win by double figures. So I'll take the Bills giving up 2.5 points on the road Monday Night Football against the Jets.
I don't like it because I think the Jets are going to win this game. I think that for 1 week, riding the momentum of the new coach and the new attitude and the new feeling in the building and the revised hope that may spring for only 1 week, I think the Jets in this game are actually going to win it. I think that they're going to enjoy for 1 week the move that was made for Robert Saleh. I don't think it's going to last long term, but I felt like the Jets were going to win.
What's it called? The dead cat bounce?
Yeah, what it is? Dead cat bounce.
Dead
yeah.
cat bounce for the
yeah.
Jets.
Yeah.
Oil and gas like that one.
Yeah. I think Jeremy read my body language because he already put DNP Bills next to it.
Yeah,
so,
I did.
Josh Allen has not played well. I mean, 9-for-30 in his last game. He had a single-digit, talking fantasy-wise, single-digit point game against, I believe it was against the Ravens. Really hasn't played well since week two and hasn't played in his, well in his last couple games against the Jets. I don't like this. I do actually lean Jets at home, the dead cat bounce. I could see Buffalo winning, but I don't think they'd cover. I think that's like a one-point win if they win, so I think I'm staying away.
All right. Another All right. do not play. Let's
Another
DNP. Yes,
three in a row. We're getting scared here towards the end. All right, last game, mine. I think I've talked about this team quite a bit, both today and over this week, but I think the Denver Broncos are underrated. I do love Jim Harbaugh. I love their establishing grit style of running the ball. But I don't like it in this matchup. The Denver Broncos defense is first in points per game allowed. They're shutting everybody down, both run and pass. Patrick Surtain has proven you can't pass on them. And the Chargers don't have a lot of wide receivers. Plus, Justin Herbert is dealing with the bum ankle still. Denver at home, they're the underdog, +3. Wrong team favor. Give me the Broncos.
I just feel like the Bo Nix thing is still not ready for prime time, and I know that he and Peyton got into it last week. Yes, their defense has been very good.
Elite.
Yeah, I don't feel the way you do about the Broncos and making the playoffs, but I believe that Harbaugh is good as a good coach. I like the Chargers' defense. You're right that the Herbert injury has me a little bit concerned.
Bosa's questionable.
Who is?
Joey Bosa.
Is that right? Yeah, I don't like this game, period, but if I was going to go one way or the other, I'd go Chargers.
I like Denver. I think this is a coin flip game. Denver's the home team, and they're getting 3 points. I think this is a neutral side game. I think it's a coin flip game. And Denver's the home team, and they're getting 3. Give me the Broncos. What are y'all thinking? It's good meeting you too, Drift Dave. Good meeting you, Drift Dave. Drift Dave, loyal listener to the show. He's listened for about 2.5 hours. He's saying goodbye.
He told us about 4 different names over the course of the day.
Jeremy did it too.
He told me. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming out to Drift Bar today. Great time. But I like the Broncos here too. $25.
That's on y'all.
I think on the Broncos.
$25?
I think $25
I'm fine
on
with
the
that.
Broncos.
I'm fine with that.
All right. There we go. So we're putting $30 on the Texans, -6.5, $40 on the Buccaneers, -3.5, $25 on the Broncos, +3 at home against the Chargers. All right, time for Mean Text. It's our car wreck of the day every Friday. The mean things that you say to us. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, it's about time of the happy hour on a Friday to raise a glass. If you're going to raise a glass, I always suggest you raise a glass with a little Stella Rosa wines. We normally have Stella Rosa wines when we're in the studio. Stella Rosa wines go with just about anything you're serving. If you've got some big plans this weekend, having some people over, or maybe you want to bring a gift to a house where you're going to be hanging out watching some sports, go with some Stella Rosa wines. They're available at all your local retailers. They're available at your grocery stores and your liquor stores. You serve them chilled, and they're the exact right taste and the exact right amount of alcohol. You may be serving beer and hard liquor, but if you give everybody that at your party another alternative, it's refreshing. It's all real fruit. It's no preservatives. It's great spices to go with it, and it goes with anything you're serving. Stella Rosa wines are delicious. You serve them chilled, and you are going to love them. And I recommend them. They bring them to any party you're going to, or anytime you got people coming through. Check them out today at your local retailer, and please celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
It's mean text time, as you can tell by the music. It's awkward thanking Drift Bar so much for having us out and having the mean text music in the background. But thank you so much for Drift Bar having us out. Great time. Thanks to everybody who came on out. And if you're looking for some Friday night plans, this is it. If you're looking for some place to watch some college football tomorrow, this is it. LSU watch party right here. And then, of course, your professional football coming up on Sunday. All right, so all the mean things that you've said to us through the week, 3338 just texted it since Blink and Branham suck. We should fade them and listen to BMAC. It's up to you. Now, I don't suck. I've been incredibly mediocre. I was 4-4. That doesn't suck. That's incredibly
very
average.
Mid.
That's as mid as it gets. So have a little respect. Honey Glaze Branham. Branham didn't want to play with it because he was emotional. Sounds like my wife. That's Honey Glaze Branham saying that. All right, all the mean things that you've said to us throughout the week. This one earlier. Branham, after the TikTok video I saw of the four of y'all, y'all don't need any more carnitas. Joel, you're jacked. Well done, senor. BMAC, you're a lost cause. Sorry, mijo. So we're getting body shamed by a keyboard warrior. Tough play. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
No, I mean, I was going to be mad at that, but then DJ told us he's dieting, and now I'm spiraling.
Yeah, DJ, who's that's unreal. 2% body fat, is dieting. And he said broccoli and cheddar chowder.
Is that what he's eating now?
He said he
tried it.
He said he tried some broccoli and cheddar.
Here locally somewhere.
I think he was in Panera, maybe? They say Panera?
Panera's not a local spot, but
I mean, it's everywhere.
It's a local restaurant.
It's everywhere, yeah.
It's a chain.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
I think he said
Panera's
broccoli,
very.
Broccoli
if you cheddar. Get the real deal in Boston, it's pretty damn good.
Panera's very good.
Clam chowder, though.
Right.
Broccoli cheddar.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not chowder.
Soup.
Yeah.
No.
That's soup.
No.
That's soup.
What Panera does is not chowder.
No.
They're very mid.
Yeah, I don't know if they're – I don't really have any chowder places in Houston. I'm sure they exist. I'm sure they're out there. But I've never really found one that I like. I mean, I always save it to when I travel.
I think at, like, your seafood places and some of your upscale places.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like, I think, like, Vic and Anthony's and Trulux. They have
clam
chowder.
Trulux is fantastic. Yeah.
That's a good call. They had a little surf and turf stuff. The weatherman the other day, you had the hurricane that went through Florida. Hope everybody's safe. That was some scary stuff. But you had a weatherman on the Weather Channel throwing some shade at the Falcons. He said the second half of the hurricane was going to be very bad, just like the Falcons in the second half of the Super Bowl. That was very bad. So you have a natural disaster going on in Florida, and you have this snarky, sassy weatherman talking crap about the Falcons.
Too soon?
Yes. It's not too soon with the Falcons.
No.
But the setting was inappropriate.
Right.
Inappropriate setting, weatherman.
You're supposed to be telling the Tampa Bay.
Yeah, here's the weatherman throwing some shade at the Falcons.
There's a lot more to go. I think back to, you know, the Atlanta Falcons' first half Super Bowl winner. We know what happened to the second half when the Patriots came back.
The guy's
to
in the middle of the storm.
Do not sleep on the second half of Milton. And we're definitely concerned now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he could have done better.
Middle of the storm, and he's throwing shade at the Falcons. Day One Donna's here. She said she liked the joke. Have you no heart, Day One Donna? Have you no heart?
You're ruthless, Donna.
Ruthless, like the Twitchers. We had a texter earlier.
Psychotic.
He said Big C never has good opinions. That was not very nice. It wasn't nice by the texter to throw trash. Although he might be right. I'm not sure I've ever heard of a Big C opinion that was
I haven't
good.
Tracked all of his opinions.
No, he's had good opinions.
To go to the Jeremy technique on this, give me an example. Give me an example of when Clarence was actually on top of a good take.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I cannot either.
I feel like he doesn't always have bad opinions, but I can't think of a good one he's had.
I can't either.
And there's been so many. You know, I'm sure he's had
not
some
all of them
ones.
Are bad, but we can't think of the good.
I just can't think of the good.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't even know Scooble, and I know more baseball than Jeremy. That was Honey Glaze Branham. That might be true. I only follow one professional baseball team. That's the Houston Astros. King saying that Joel has the same vocabulary as my daughter.
Well, who knew he had kids? And he could actually multiply.
I wonder what he means by that, same vocabulary. Like, what do you say that teenage girls say?
Yeah, your vocabulary is not – you don't talk like a teenage girl.
I don't think so.
But do teenage girls, like when they're obsessed with someone, do they stalk them and then Google search them and then dive into their past?
Are you saying you do?
No, I'm saying he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
What gets Google searched?
Oh, my God. He and Largo, it's an everyday thing. Everything from all the way back to my college baseball career to where I've worked, what my full name is. And these two guys sit there and they hide behind keyboards.
Did they ever find out your college baseball stats?
Oh, yeah. They're out there.
How do I not know them? Well, I want to know them.
Well, all you got to do is get in touch with your boys, and they'll help you out.
I don't know if
they'll hook
call
you
my
up.
Boys. But, hey, DM me Blanker's numbers. I would love to – because you know my numbers. I was a 400 hitter in high school, 2-for-5.
2-for-5, yeah.
We don't know that. We've heard
No,
that.
I was.
Okay.
I was 2-for-5. I think it is documented somewhere. It is documented that I was a .400 high school hitter, 2 for 5.
If anybody thinks I care about my college stats now or then, to be honest with you.
You don't love whenever I bring up the fact that high school baseball here is better than junior college baseball.
Wisconsin. Right, because you do that, and I know you.
You guys
and
play
I,
three games
and I know enough about you, and you do that to poke fun at me. People I don't know that get way personal and bring my wife into conversations, I don't have the same respect for.
Yeah, that's the line that's being crossed there. All right, thanks to Drift Bar for having us out. Thank you, Donna. Thanks for everybody. Drifter Day for stopping by. Chewy for stopping by. Thanks to Brian, the on-site engineer. Abby doing all the hard work, though. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday, everybody. Hall of Fame. He actually interviewed a good wrestler today, The Undertaker. And Comic-Cast coming up at 8. Goodbye, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Hey, everybody. John Granato with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, I have an event coming up. I need it by then. What do I do?
Communication is key here. So if you have a baby shower, a graduation, a bridal shower, make sure you let us.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.